Well, grace to you and peace in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at people's skills and how those skills can benefit others. What we're going to talk about in the sermon is where those skills come from and how we should use them. I would presume that many of you have heard about an author named C.S. Lewis. He's quite a fascinating guy, kind of grew up an atheist, became a Christian, and then became an author. And what's fascinating about everything he writes, even the fiction has Christianity just tightly woven through everything he does. It's really fascinating stuff. He wrote a book called Mere Christianity, meaning the simple Christianity. There he says this. He says, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or moving your limbs from moment to moment, is given by God. If you devote every moment of your whole life's existence to his service, you could not give him anything that was not, in a sense, already his own. Today being Stewardship Sunday, it's probably appropriate to ask, what does Christian stewardship look like today, in our world, in our culture today? I guess it's kind of unfortunate. As I mentioned just before the service started, many Christians only associate the idea of Stewardship Sunday with sermons they've heard about church budgets and building programs and either prying or guilting money out of people. But stewardship should be about far, far more than that. It's really where the concept of faith and work and finances all come together equally. There's another fairly well-known author, and I forgot to put him here. I suppose if you have a printed copy of the sermon, it's in the footnote there. But he wrote that there are basically four important principles that we need to understand about biblical stewardship. And I want to just walk through those four and help you understand what they mean. The first principle of stewardship is the principle of ownership. In Psalm 24, it says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. In the beginning, God created everything and then put Adam and Eve in charge of it to work at it. It's interesting that sometimes we think of work as part of the curse of creation, but work isn't the curse. Trouble with work is the curse. Adam and Eve had jobs to do while still living in perfection. But their job was to take care of the creation. It's clear that people were created to work, and that work is the stewardship, the caring for all of creation which God has given to us. This is a fundamental principle of biblical stewardship, is that when it comes to ownership, we don't own it. We're stewards, we're caretakers of it. God owns it. God made everything. We're just the managers, the administrators, acting on God's behalf. So stewardship expresses our respect for all that God has made for us, and stewardship is the administration of everything God has placed under our control. Stewardship is that commitment of oneself and one's possessions to God's service, recognizing that we do not have the right of control over the property we possess. Now, in the Old Testament reading, you heard that there's a warning, right? Sometimes, and I'm sure, you know, we all get caught up in this, right? My power and my strength, or my power and the strength of my hand have produced the wealth for me. Especially in America, we can get caught up in that kind of idea. But the very next verse chides us with a little bit of warning. It says, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, right? It's not ours. God owns it. And what he blesses us with in administering, we get to use for our benefit, but also the benefit of others. The second principle is that of responsibility. Responsibility is best understood like this. God gives us all things richly to enjoy, but nothing is ours. Nothing really belongs to us. God owns everything. We are responsible for how we treat it and what we do with it. While we complain about our rights here on earth, the Bible constantly asks, what about your responsibility? You see, owners have rights. Stewards have responsibility. I think the place you see this most clear is how do some people treat the car, the rental car or the rental house, right? You've all heard the horror stories, right? When somebody rents out their house, they come back and it's all destroyed, or somebody gets that rental car and they drive it really hard, right? When they have to pay for it out of their own pocket, their attitude toward how they treat it changes, right? The owner has rights. The steward, the renter, if you will, has responsibilities to treat it rightly. We're called as God's stewards to manage those things which belong to God. We're just the tenants, the renters, the stewards. While God has graciously entrusted us with the care and development and enjoyment of everything he owns, as his stewards, we are responsible to manage his holdings well and in accordance with his desires and purposes. It's our place then to know his purpose, to read his word, understand and learn his ways and his will, and then carry out that will in the stead and by the command of the God who has given us these things. The foremost being sharing that word and will and love and salvation with everyone around us, because the greatest treasure we have is our salvation. The third principle is that of accountability. As a steward is one who manages the possessions of another, and we are all stewards of the resources, of the abilities, and even the opportunities that God places in our care and in our lives. And one day, each one of us will be called to give an account for how we have managed what the Master has given to us. This is the message maybe taught the most clearly in the parable in our gospel reading today. God has entrusted authority over creation to us, and we are not allowed to rule over it as we see best fit. Sometimes we do that. Usually when we do it our way, it doesn't work out the best, right? We're called to exercise our dominion under the watchful eye of the Creator, managing his creation in accord with the rules that he has put in place. He's the master in the parable. He's the owner of all of these things. We are the stewards, the managers, the caretakers of it. Like the servant in the parable, we'll be called to give an account of how we have administered everything we have been given, including our time and our money, our abilities, our information, wisdom, our relationships, our authority. We will all give an account to the rightful owner as to how well we manage these things that he has entrusted to us. The most important being the sharing of our salvation, which God has told us to invest. We invest that in the souls of others. If we're not doing that, then we're really not doing anything useful, and we're not acting as the church, as Jesus would define it. Then the fourth principle is that of reward. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." So whatever you're doing, no matter how mundane or how unimportant it may seem, do it as though you're doing it for God, because you're doing it with stuff that he gave, that he owns. The Bible shows us in the parable that it speaks of the kingdom. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this. And it shows that the faithful stewards who do the master's will with the master's resources can expect to be rewarded. In this life, rewarded incompletely, but completely in the next life. You see, every one of us should long to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share my master's happiness." As Christians, especially in these new and modern times in which we live, We need to embrace this kingdom view, this kingdom focus, this larger biblical view of stewardship, which goes far beyond budgets and projects. We should see stewardship as it connects everything we do to what God is doing in the world. We should be faithful stewards of all that God has given to us within the opportunities that He provides. We do that to glorify Him, to serve the common good of those around us, and to extend and further His kingdom. All of that with the primary focus on bringing the message of salvation to lost souls. See, it's Isaiah who said, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has dawned." That's the task to which we have been given stewardship. The question is, in the three servants in the parable, which one will you be? Will you invest the resources God has given to you and show a return for your work? Or will you bury that most precious of all gifts? Will you bury salvation and just keep it for yourself, planning only to turn it in the end, selfishly for your own reward? The parable tells us that God expects us to do something with it. Jesus makes it clear what that something is. Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you." As we've been looking at, you know, we approach the end of the church year, and we start looking more and more at that approaching of Judgment Day. The day will come when Jesus, the Master, the owner, will return. Each of us is going to stand before Him, and each of us will be measured. The question is, how will you measure up? The gospel, that good news, the most precious of gifts we have, is not something to be kept private. It is something that is to be invested. It is to be shared. It is to be grown and nurtured. As we invest in the salvation of others, we are being good stewards of God's most precious possession, His children. And I pray that God would instill in all of us a desire to do that well, in Jesus' name. Amen.